Every Saturday in my childhood, my family visited both sets of my grandparents, who lived two blocks apart in South Philadelphia. I knew them well. My mother's parents came to the United States in the early 1900s, escaping destruction and looting of homes and massacres of Jews in Ukraine. They spoke English with strong accents and conversed with each other in Russian when their children were around, and they spoke with their children in Yiddish. Their history embodied centuries of persecution, including being forced to live in walled ghettos, childhood conscription into the army, which my grandfather was a victim of, and burning of homes and crops. My father's parents were born in Philly to parents who had arrived in the late 1800s, escaping the same pogroms. These grandparents spoke perfect English and not so perfect Yiddish. I knew early on that I was different from the children I played with in my home in Northeast Philadelphia. We ate different foods. They went to Catholic schools, observed Christmas and Easter, while we observed Hanukkah and Passover. Their parents and grandparents spoke English with no accent. When we visited my American-born grandparents, I played with the neighborhood children, siblings Hannah and Abby. My grandmother called their refugee family the Greenies, and for a long time I thought that was their last name. But of course, it was slang for greenhorns. She criticized the way they lived, ashamed of their poverty and their foreign ways. One day I noticed that Hannah and Abby's parents had numbers tattooed on their arms. When I asked my mother why, she tells me they were in a concentration camp because they are Jewish and that Hitler wanted to get rid of all the people who weren't of the Aryan race. They are lucky they got out, she says. My innocence was shattered. At 5 years old, I couldn't figure out how this God I was just getting to know could let this happen. As a Jew, I never felt completely safe again. I didn't find out about the pogroms and the reason my ancestors fled Eastern Europe until I was much older. And I didn't know until recently that my grandparents had cousins who were killed in the Holocaust. No one in my family talked about these horrors. If they weren't voiced, maybe they could believe that they didn't happen. The Jewish culture that I grew up in was about food, religious observance, rituals, and a worldview that combined burying the trauma of centuries of atrocities while trying to remain safe and insular and ambiguously assimilating as quickly as possible. And so I learned to be hypervigilant, always know where the exit is, always plan a way out, always have a pile of cash stashed away in a current passport in case I have to leave the country quickly. Be careful with whom I associate. Don't tell people I'm Jewish and don't act like a Jew, whatever that means. I married out into a WASP family that traced most of its ancestry to the Mayflower. They lived in white communities that had no Jews. I tried to act like them, reserved, quiet, carefully choosing my words. Had I assimilated yet? And this was the me I brought to the Unitarian Society of Lincoln, Nebraska in 1978. It took a while before I was able to stop worrying that the minister was going to accuse the Jews of killing Christ. In fact, the minister and the congregation were humanists. Theologically, I knew I fit in, but I was still uncomfortable. It was my family that kept me attending. I showed up and I adapted to that community, and it was, at times, hard work. The struggle for me came from a belief that this culture, this reserved Midwestern white, seemingly non-ethnic culture would not accept me if I were to be myself, They would not appreciate my directness, my emotional way of responding. They would stereotype me if I spoke or laughed loudly or talked too much about money. I didn't tell anyone I was Jewish until I felt I could trust them. There were parts of me that never went through the door. In Boulder in the 1990s, at the advice of a Unitarian minister, my husband and I began to attend services of the Progressive Jewish Renewal Congregation that was forming. For the first time in my life, I was surrounded by Jews in a community where women and men had equal roles in worship. I reveled in modern-day archetypal and psychological interpretations of the Torah and became immersed in ritual and celebration. I let go of my fear of being Jewish and began healing the divide in my soul, accepting my Jewishness and allowing me to fully embrace Unitarian Universalism. As you can see from my story, cultural awareness has been an integral part of my life. My efforts to assimilate were bound not only by internalized negative messages from the dominant culture, but also from thousands of years of historical trauma. I had to accept my own culture in order to heal and become whole. These days I'm at home at our fellowship, and my hope for this congregation is that we can go deeper than our beautiful welcoming words by giving the gift of listening, really listening, to cultivate a community that encourages people to bring their whole selves through our doors.